You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes!
The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
God damn Mike Ryan. I blame him for all of this. And he doesn't have to be here right now. It was a win-win for him.
It wasn't a win-win for
him. It was
a
win-win for him.
Win-win for him. He loses all his money. He doesn't. It's just embarrassing. He looks like he's a fan of the moment. Nobody got that it was a bit. It's one of his most successful ever annoying trolls.
Oh, wow. Aaron Donald's over there across the way. Should I yell his name? I'm sorry. I just got sidetracked. I see Aaron Donald. And does he look Aaron Donald-y? Wow.
He had a lot of diamonds.
Oh, man. It's a who's who here. All right. You know what? I'm not going to do the thing, though. This is not sad. The Heat are who we thought they were. It was a good season. Second best in the East. Like, could we really expect more than this? The Celtics were clearly better. I'm not going to do the it's sad right now.
The Celtics are clearly better. Hold on a second. Hold on. I want to talk about this with Amin.
Yes.
Because we are courtside right now. It's sad. The sad rumblings. The litter after parade. The Celtics have just left the court after getting a Bob Cousy trophy, a Larry Bird trophy, something handed to them by Cedric Maxwell. In the middle of Miami, they got to celebrate all of the Celtics return to glory, and me and Amin were talking about the same thing. Oh, Jimmy, that shot. You've got Al Horford backpedaling.
That's what Dan. I've texted 8 million people. I've been in all the group chats. I'm seeing my guys here at the arena who are at the game, and it's the most unanimous opinion of a basketball play I've seen probably all season long, at least, if not longer than that. What was he thinking?
The most fundamental of basketball players, the player who's always about winning, the player who's always about making the right play, goes from what would be his greatest strength, Al Horford backing up, you get fouls while driving to the basket, and chooses instead the hero ball of his least successful play.
Right.
And I understand exactly, I mean, how he would buy all his shit on that. I understand the balls in it of just like, oh, you know what? Here's a three for the season. I'm not saying it's the smart play. I understand why when he's surrounded by this little help in this game, he says, I don't want to go to overtime. I don't want to do it on defense. I just give me 3 points for the season because I looked incompetent in game 4 and 5. They've had to shoot me up with God knows what to get me out here. And he's like, one shot for the season. I'll take it.
Is it that? Is it fatigue? He's like you said, you know, I don't want to go to overtime because I'm dog tired. Is it just a brain fart? Because that's not, like you said, like he's a guy who knows his strengths and plays within his strengths, and that's clearly not your strength. And
but why wouldn't you start believing though?
I don't think it's a belief thing. I think it's just like what you just said. It's like I don't want to do overtime, or like
I was okay with him shooting that. In the moment.
Really?
I don't care. I know the numbers. He deserved, after 47 points last night, he deserved to take that shot. I was happy with it. I don't want I was mad Strus took that big shot until he hit it late in the game. I was like, no, yes!
Okay, well,
that was one of those classic no-yeses.
Strus was in there just because nobody else wanted to make a shot except for Oladipo, who was insistent every time that Jimmy Butler got going at all. Oladipo came in and said, give me the ball. I want to do it instead of Jimmy Butler.
You've opened my eyes, Amin, Oladipo.
Look, I don't want to turn... I really don't want to turn Game 7 into should they have played Caleb Martin.
Oh, my God.
No. But this is what I'm going to say. This is what I'm going to say about this, okay? 3 years, the Miami Heat give us, like, enormous fun escape during really a hugely shitty time in the country. And at the very end, I know that we talked about this last week, and you were saying everyone's injured, everyone's hurt, it doesn't matter. But it felt like two of the best vehicles with what's left of their bodies, like grinding to the end of a finish line. The Heat didn't deserve, with the way they shot and the way they played, to be in that game at any point.
Right.
They didn't deserve to be single digits in the second quarter. They didn't deserve to be single digits in the third. They didn't deserve to be at the end of the game shooting for the... are you kidding me?
But then,
shooting for the game? If Jimmy Butler makes that three, we are talking about the Celtics as one of the all-time gags in the history of the sport, losing that game the way that they played.
Wouldn't that be symbolic of how the whole series went? Where the Celtics, if we talk about like the by and large of it, the Celtics outplayed the Heat. But the Heat had several strategic surge moments in their wins where it's like, it doesn't matter how well you've been playing over 36, 38, 40 minutes. These 8 minutes right here are the difference. And we're gonna knock you out on it. And they pulled that off. They pulled it off in game three, right? When they blew a huge lead, but they made the right surge at the right time towards the end. They pulled it off in game one. When they opened up that huge lead, I believe early in the third quarter, when it was just turnover after turnover after turnover, and they pulled it off game six, and tonight, had they pulled it off, it would have been the same script. But if you look at, like, by and large, the Celtics played more consistent basketball. I said earlier today before this game started, I said win or lose, I have a huge newfound respect for Ime Udoka. That dude coached his ass off, man. No, ain't nobody can tell me otherwise. That wasn't Jason Tatum saving the day. That was Ime Udoka with the adjustments at every turn. He went toe-to-toe with Eric Spoelstra, one of the best coaches at adjustment, one of the best coaches of all time. And he didn't blink. And
you are ass off, didn't blink. You're over the hump. We're just hitting all of them right now.
He coached his ass off. Hold on. I want to bring Chris Cody into
no
this.
Ass. I've coached so well, I have no ass.
Please don't say that so loud. There are reputable news organizations here nearby. You have made the security cards laugh. You've distracted working media members.
What was
by
a
shouting,
better battle tonight? Heat no Celtics? Ass. Or me versus that machine trying
well,
to get
let's,
that door
this,
open.
I want to talk about this for a second. No, let me talk about this for a second. Amin and Chris Cody wore, and I'd like you to take a picture of this, their Maximum Media shirts today. It was Game 7 media shirts, a little snug in some places. And at one point, I looked up, and Chris Cody, who was embarrassed because he had the most decadent of desserts, he had in his hand a red velvet cake, okay?
Well, I was...
I look up at one point, and Chris Cody is very much... Let me explain to the audience what this machine was. It was not a vending machine, but it was a big... It was a big fridge that was... You could see the glass in the front filled with rows and rows and cases of drinks. And it was bigger than Chris Cody. And I looked up, and Chris Cody, in the middle of a media room, appeared to be wrestling with the refreshments machine. He appeared in a media room and with a too tight shirt, where Ahmad Rashad was and a few other media members. He appeared to be wrestling, unsuccessfully, I might add, Greco-Roman wrestling with the... with the refreshment.
Someone had to come help me.
And not able to open the door. Unsuccessful at opening.
That's the funny part. That's the funny part is that if it was just him wrestling, it'd be funny. But Mike, what's Mike's last name? An old VR guy for the Heat.
Mark Prey.
Mark Prey.
Mark Prey came over.
And he's holding one side.
75-year-old Mark
Prey. And, one of the original, okay, I'm introducing, look, Mark Prey worked with Christian. Mark Prey is a legend in the industry who has worked with Greg Cody for many, many years. Okay, now here's Greg Cody's oaf of a son in the media room. No real credentials to speak of other than the one draped around his neck, which is smudged by red velvet crumbs. Because of how much cake he ate. And then Mark Prey looks up and the question was, why is Greg Cody's kid fighting the refreshment machine like he's fighting a polar bear?
So to take it a few minutes earlier, I walk into the media dining at halftime and I'm grabbing a drink and I look over at Chris and Chris is in the process of shoveling a rather healthy slice of red velvet cake. And I said, Chris,
you shamed me.
Chris, don't do it. I care about you. So moments later.
I honestly can't think comedically. I mean, maybe if you say to me creme brulee or something like that, but red velvet cake, he had it in both hands. It's just such a decadent.
They offered it. What do you want from me?
But I'm saying,
but a man.
I'm just saying, what a rich dessert. Yeah. And you stained your media credential. And again, I want to understand, why were you fighting the machine with such vigor? So hard about
it?
Opening
wouldn't open. Let's go back there right now. I'm telling you, this thing is tight fridge. Back me up here.
Just turn around, and I see Chris literally throwing his whole weight back, leaving.
I needed two hands to do it. Like, I couldn't
open it. And Mark Prey is
hand.
Kind of holding it, and it's turning on
Mark Prey helped.
On
we
his
got it
axis.
Open. As soon as Prey
the machine
over.
Moved, though. You did not know before you started wrestling the machine, you did not know it had wheels. You'd admit that you did not know
I
that
did
that
not.
Thing
I
could
did
be.
I did not. I was like, let me pull this in, and the whole thing moved right at me. Oh, my God.
So, this was the backdrop of. Upon which the Miami Heat season ended, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Cody wrestling a fridge.
It's sad. You, man, this guy. I know you're in the basketball circles, but before the game, there was a two-minute period. Caleb Martin comes up, daps up Amin. Brad Stevens comes up, daps up Amin. J-Jax walks up. That one I kind of knew. But it was just a nice two-minute stretch for you.
Yeah, man.
In terms of just looking like a guy who belongs. And then Jeff Van Gundy at halftime. Walks up, and he felt like he needed to say hi to you. He was in the middle of a game broadcast. He could have big-timed you. He was like, I got Amin.
I love how shocked Chris
is. It's not shocked. No, it was not.
You were like, what, Jeff Van Gundy?
It's not that these people know you. That's not surprising to me. It's they're like, oh, I got to go out of my – like, Brad Stevens was walking by. It's like, oh, I got to – what's up? And it was just – it's impressive, man.
Which part of this are you not understanding that Amin has credentials in this industry that is respected for his analysis because he's fair and he really knows what he's talking about?
It's
what
all
is
around the horn? It's all because around.
I've never been on around the horn.
Or whatever.
In my life.
It's like it's all because of like the jump. It's all because of the jump. Like, you know what I mean? It's not because of you worked for the Suns. It's because people saw you on TV.
No,
right?
Some of these people are because I work for the Suns.
No, it's because he came up the gritty way and they know his story,
they know the story
and they know
right.
that he was the video. Guy and they know that his credentials are rooted in the sport. But Amin, so you're talking to all your friends. Where's that shot going to go down historically, given that the Miami Heat had no business being in that game? Amin, this is the best three-point shooting team in the league. They were shitty from three
again.
They were shitty. This is the best one in the league at three-point shooting. You got the big games from Adebayo and Butler. You're playing at home. At the end of the game, you're chasing the Celtics. The whole game is a cesarean section. It's bloody, and you have no business at any point. You're thinking they're done. Here come the Celtics. They're up by 15. They're up by 11. They're up by double digits. The Heat doesn't have the offense to get back in this two at a time. They get back into the game, and then at the very end, they're shooting, and Jimmy Butler is making a decision that goes from his greatest strength to his greatest weakness. You tell me how that's going to be remembered as a decision.
I think that's the funny thing about that play, Dan, is usually we talk about these people who come up short in the big moment, you know, with the season on the line, and it's guys missing shots that they normally make. Guys turning it over on a routine play, dribbled off his foot, or passed it to someone who wasn't there. Not often do we see guys do something that's like, what were you thinking? I mean, it's not to the same level because this was like next level bonehead, But I remember J.R. Smith, you know, dribbling the clock out even though the game was tied, thinking he was up. That's like a next level mistake. This is Jimmy Butler, again, one of the smartest players and guys who knows who he is and sticks to who he is. Making a mistake not of missing the shot he should have hit, but it's like, why would you do that? Why would you take that shot? And he knew what the clock was. He knew what the time was, the score was. This wasn't a case of like, oh, shit, I thought we were down three.
But if he makes it, like, I don't know.
You know what that is? That's called bad process, bad results. If he makes it, it's still bad process, good result.
Yes,
but that's not the shot.
But I think when that shot is leaving his hand, I'm willing to take my chances with whatever the result of that is
really?
Given. Look, I'm not saying it's the smartest play. I'm not saying it's the most probable math. I'm not saying that analytics would argue on its behalf. I'm saying that Jimmy Butler's exhausted at the end of that basketball game. They've got the ability to steal one at the end. He hasn't gotten a lot of help. What you get is an occasional Max Strus needs to shoot it from 30 feet, or Kyle Lowry's going to try and pinball into somebody and get a foul. There's nothing else for you there other than Adebayo mid-range jump. I'm going to go into overtime against that defense. I'm going to go again into overtime. And no, screw it. I'll take the shot from up here. I'll be the guy from the commercials. I'll be the hero of the goat. And you know what? When they're done, they're not going to question whether or not I had the balls. I had the balls. I just missed. Like, I took the shot.
Yeah.
They're not going to question whether no one's going to question whether I've got the guts or not. And truth be told, no one's going to ever say that I'm not a smart basketball player.
Nobody,
just because I didn't in that moment make the smartest basketball
player. Nobody ever
play.
Questioned his guts, though. That's the thing. Like, no one would ever say, hey, man, I thought Jimmy had more than that. Like, he's scared to take that shot. Like, no one would say that. We all know he's a tough guy. We all know he's competitive. We all know he wants it better than anybody else. But that just wasn't, man, in that moment with them backpedaling. Because the other thing, the context of is the Celtics are looking at him like, what? Or is this Freddy Krueger, Nightmare from Elm Street level of, I can't kill you, right? So when Strus hits that three, the Celtics go from like, oh, guys, we're going to win this game to, oh, f-. Like it's like,
Marcus Smart is thinking to himself, I missed the last 50 shots that I've taken. They've been asking me to bury them one time, and all I'm doing is taking wide open threes and missing them. Do you realize how close we were to an epic for all time?
Yeah, what are the headlines the next day? If Boston loses this game seven, it's insane. But, man, I just, there's no part of me that can sanction. It's not one of those, hey, man, you had a good look, go ahead and take it. It's like, buddy, that's not your game, even if you weren't tired. Even if you had the legs, that's not your game. Go there, get fouled, hell, get an and one, maybe. At worst, you're going to shoot two free throws. You're going to tie this up. And that team over there is terrified because they know they had a chance and they'd let it go. Instead, you give them the out.
You're right. You know that, okay? You're right on probabilities. There's no disputing. There's no one who would argue the other side of this. I'm not even trying to argue
because
I just understand his decision.
But, Dan, we're not talking about Kobe Bryant or Ja Morant or someone who's known to be okay at shooting threes.
No, but I mean, look.
It's
not his game, but in this playoffs and in this series, we've been saying Jimmy Butler does things in the playoffs he doesn't do in the regular season. In the regular season, he doesn't score 40. He does it all the time in the playoffs. He goes all season where Tyler Hero's, I'm making fun of a quote that Tyler Hero has that says, people don't understand, but Jimmy can shoot. It's just not the ball going in. So except for the way that we do the measurement, Jimmy Butler can really shoot. And in the playoffs, he was shooting threes and making threes. And I'm not saying it's a good shot or a smart shot. I'm saying that I understand how he arrives at a point where he's like, screw this. My team, my time. I've been Jordan through this postseason. And while it's not the smartest play, I bet you I think I could make this go in because I'm the great
Jimmy Butler. Let me ask you a question. Would you be as understanding, same situation, same big game and all that stuff, if it was Giannis? would you be as understanding?
No, look, it lost the game, Amin. When you're asking me, understanding.
I'm
looking at the last minute of a basketball game where he's exhausted at the end of a long series when both of these teams are physically broken. I understand what you're saying about the decision-making from over here where we're not gasping for breath, and I'm not wondering how he turned in that performance in Game 6 because I saw the carcass, the waterlogged incompetence that was Game 4 and 5 where he couldn't get a foul in the key because he had no legs. And he couldn't reach the basket with his jump shot. And then all of a sudden he goes to 47-35. I understand how he would arrive at feeling like he's invincible.
Was Strus's foot in or out? We got screwed. Jeremy, you're our detective. Give me a thumbs up or thumbs down. We got screwed?
Yeah. They went to replay.
I've seen a lot of Twitter pictures where the foot looks like it was hovering above that line.
Surprising to see it overturned minutes later in play.
It was when the Heat were struggling to get points, it was like they went backwards with two extras. Like during that part of the game, you're like every free throw is like give them one point, one measly constipated
point. How many times
point.
Did we get to like seven? And then they would make it back over double. We could never get past that Sixers.
No, it got
seven
to three
home.
A couple of times. Yeah, Jimmy took threes twice when they were down three.
Yeah.
That wasn't the only one. I mean, he took another one earlier that could have brought them back when they were down three.
I can't believe you can't criticize Jimmy Butler. I'm with Dan on this. Like, I get all the math, but Jimmy Butler, you said he's not Ja Morant, not all these guys. He is that for this team.
No,
he's our special player. He's
Chris,
our Kobe.
I'm not. Saying,
I know he's not a good shooter, but just live with
Chris,
it.
Chris, that's my point. I'm not saying he's not that caliber of player. I'm saying he's not known for making those shots.
Right.
That in that sense, in the same way that if it was Shaq,
but he drilled a big one in Game 6. You were good with that one in the corner. Remember in Game 6, it was like he hit it though. So it's like if it goes in.
But
like,
it's all about circumstance, and you know in the circumstance at hand, do I take this shot, or do I take something that is as guaranteed for him? He's one of the best at drawing fouls, right? He's incredibly strong, and he's more often than not is going to make it and. You know, draw the foul in the process. So it was just a level of like, it's not like I said, if it were Ja Morant, I would say, man, you had the guy backpedaling. But I understand because Ja Morant makes and takes threes.
I mean, results business, okay? It's always results, results, results.
It's a process thing.
Yes, you're talking about a process thing as it relates to this, but I wanted to talk about what the Heat did this season. Somebody had to lose this series. At the end of these guys being hurt, I would have liked to have seen this series with Robert Williams totally healthy or Kyle Lowry totally healthy or Tyler Hero totally healthy.
Or Victor Oladipo totally not healthy.
Or not playing at all. but when I look at what happened, the idea that we're talking about this Miami Heat season and it's about one shot and whether or not Jimmy Butler made the right decision on one shot in a Game 7, I'm fairly awed that the Heat season was able to grind itself to that and that it dies at the doorstep of a young team that's trying to get over the hump. Like, there's not really any shame in that.
Oh, no, Dan, look, hey, you take a step back, you go back to October.
Is that Obama?
No, Dan. But you go back to October and you say, hey, this team is going to have the best record in the East and go to the conference finals and lose at the end of a Game 7, I don't think anyone turns that down or even foresees that happening. So, sure, there's a glass half full kind of way of looking
at this. Three quarters full, I'd say.
It's
one shot. Like, ultimately, we can do all the math about who won which quarter and everything else. At the end of the season, with a minute left in the Heat season, they had a shot at the top of the key that was wide open to take the lead. You can say they were outplayed all game. They were outplayed all game. But when this Heat season comes down to a single shot, somebody's got to lose, everybody's injured, I sort of look at it and I'm like, okay, like, great season. Yeah. You know, and maybe Boston wins the title. Maybe they've got answers for Golden State that I don't see from where I'm standing. But I'm like, man, one shot? One shot for the season. If I tell you before the game, if I tell you two games ago, okay, because I'm honest to God, the last game that the Miami Heat won is the single most surprising victory of my lifetime. I did not think I needed to watch that basketball get them down 8.5 or an 8.5 point underdog. Yeah. I can't believe they won that game after the way Jimmy Butler looked totally injured, that Jimmy Butler would summon LeBron James. If you tell me before game 5, the season's coming down to a shot, I don't know what the result is. it's Jimmy Butler at the top of the key and he's open. Am I good with that?
Yeah.
Am I good with that for the whole season?
You're good with it. But Dan, I, like maybe it's just me. I'm not in the business of telling people you did your best and giving a pat on the back as you should be proud of yourself. That conversation is for tomorrow, a week from now, a month from now.
I'm not in the business.
Right now, as the scent of confetti from the little trophy is still out there. Right now, we talk about how you up. That's what we talk about right now. And then afterwards, we'll have a conversation later this week about, wow, what a magical season it was. Too bad it came to an end, right? I think about, 2010 for me in Phoenix. Nobody wants to hear about how you did your best and, we had a chance. And no one wants to hear that, man.
It looked really bad going into game six.
It sure did.
I can't believe they
it
got
it. It sure did, but you know what, man? We could have been having a conversation right now about how, they did it. They pulled it off. We're not having that conversation.
Oh, we were so close.
So close.
ESPN was calling for me. Stephen A. and Jalen and Wilbon really? Were like, you got to get over here to talk
you
about it.
Cross the line. There. I would have. Imagine. It was such a an improbable comeback. They literally were ready to just forego on all the embargoes and everything. Like, bring me Dan Le Batard. They were
ready. To talk Heat culture.
They were ready.
They were ready to pivot right immediately to talking, celebrating of Heat culture. And they would have dragged the Boston Celtics for three straight days
for a collapse unlike any in the history
of the sport.
Can he win the big one? Jaylen Brown, can he dribble? It would have been... What a remarkable thing. Dan, let me ask you a question. Me and Chris were up there when they were presenting the trophies. The
Bob Cousy trophy, yeah. The Larry Bird trophy. Honest to God, the Cedric Maxwell trophy. Presented by Cedric Maxwell.
So I'm going to tell you this. Me and Chris both for a split second, when they handed the first trophy to Al Horford, yeah. We thought that was the MVP trophy. Yeah. And I was like, this is Stu Gatz's dream come true.
I loved that Stu Gatz is one of the great analyses of all time from Stu Gatz, is that you can't beat the Golden State unless you have five Al Horfords. And the player he is choosing is literally the player who has played the most postseason games without ever playing in a finals before now. So his favorite player, you can only win with five Al Horfords. Except if you have five Al Horfords, you will have a combined what's 140 times five, 700 playoff games without a finals appearance.
You have to be eternally amused by the shores of inconsistency and hypocrisy that Stu Gatz's ship lands on. Right, where Stu Gatz, the ultimate what has he ever won guy, would choose Horford as his North Star of success and excellence. The man who's played 145 games and hadn't been to the finals once.
Can you explain to me, because again, I would have liked to have seen these teams play at full strength, and I'm not even using that as an excuse for Miami. I'm more saying because of how terrifying Robert Williams was and because of how overwhelming Boston was the second half of the season when he was healthy. If he's not healthy, they can't do anything against Golden State, can they?
I mean, it'll be difficult. I mean, he wasn't healthy in this series, though. So there's a part of it where it's like he did enough. He was able to do enough to help them edge past the Miami
Heat
team.
I don't even understand what enough is. They weren't playing him in any of the big minutes. They sat him. I don't even understand what they were doing with him. They sat him after he got stripped. They played him 13 minutes. Is it because that's all his knees got?
Yeah. I think he didn't look good running up and down. But in terms of what he did, man, he was out there, and that changes the way Miami attacks the basket. There wasn't – when he's out there, it's a little tough. And part of, I think, why Jimmy has a big game and Bam has a good game is because Robert Williams wasn't playing as much. I'm telling you, one of the biggest things in this series was Robert Williams, his availability. And when he was out there, then the Celtics' most resounding moments of victory – it was because that dude made things hard for everybody in Miami. And when he wasn't out there, they either lost or we had a game like tonight where they could have lost because of the lack of lack of availability.
What do you make of the Miami Heat being the best three-point shooting team in the sport during the season, having no use for Duncan Robinson in these last games? Tyler Hero came out. They tried to get some sort of spark. No. It was obvious that he didn't have anything. To becoming a team that can't make threes, and the reason they lost the series, I mean, is they lost the four games where they didn't shoot at all.
I mean, this is the stuff that keeps Charles up at, you know, whenever he needs a pick me up, he drops a little dip by the three, dive by the three, and goes full mast again. Look, man, I don't know what to say to you. Like, these many of those shots were open shots, some of them weren't, and Miami ultimately, because they couldn't make threes, they couldn't open up the paint enough for their guys who score inside to have an easy enough time. And ultimately, man, it just that's the way the cookie crumbles. The interesting thing is, when you look at what's going to happen in the next series, can Boston...
Ooh, predictions?
What's up?
Predictions?
Predictions?
Well, not just a prediction, but a prediction after that's the way the cookie crumbles, which is really, petering out on the analysis. I was bored by your analysis.
Sorry.
And do you know how hard it is to bore me and Chris around cookies?
All I started thinking about was, is there still ice cream in the media dining? When you were talking there, all I was thinking, like, do you think the ice cream is still there?
Let's go back there. Let's go through there. Let's end this segment in this season by you and I saying, there's a cock in the hen house, and going up there and hitting the ice cream. That's how we end this segment. We're not supposed to be working today. We only came in so that people could eat sad Miami Heat tears. Mike Ryan somehow skates on all of this. Like,
is he? He lost a bet. He bet Celtics in six. So, like,
he lost a lot of money. He lost face. He lost dignity. His team loses.
I had so many people texting me. Is Mike for real? Like, people
we had him on the radio.
Genuinely mad at Mike.
We had him on the radio.
A Boston accent. Producer,
he was about Time Lod. He spelled it L A W H D. Our producer said we've never had that many angry calls.
Sitting in my own house during game six, watching the game, I motherfucked Mike Ryan three times during that game.
I think my favorite part of it all is that, so Mike Ryan loses his game six bet, loses all dignity as being someone who believes in Heat culture. Loses because his Heat team, he loves them. Loses because he was going to be loud and wanted to do rants during the playoffs, and now they don't make it to the finals. Loses because Boston gets over on Miami. Loses because he publicly looks like someone who has loudly betrayed the ideas of culture. And Chris Cody described it at the beginning of this as win-win for Mike Ryan.
I mean, Mike was going to find a way to make this a win.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.